Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to your afternoon edition of Locked On Pelicans here on this Thursday. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. And sorry, this one's coming out a little bit late. Was busy doing some moving stuff yesterday. I didn't have time to record and figured nothing was really going to happen, and we could just kind of skate through the rest of the week. But lo and behold, it is official. As of this morning, Rajon Rondo has signed with the Pelicans 1 year, being reported as $3.3 million. That's way better. If you remember the podcast yesterday, I was pretty down on the team and the moves they've made leading them to this point and kind of overpaying for 1 year of Rondo at what was supposedly going to be around $7 million. Well, this is less than half of that, so I think we can all get on board with Rondo at 3.3 for 1 year. Not a great move. It's not going to be a difference maker for the Pelicans, but their salary cap situation is much better than it was before. So in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, I'm going to talk a little bit about their salary cap situation, kind of go back from what I had said yesterday. It's not great. It's better than it was yesterday, but they're still not really going to be in position to bring in difference makers, make a ton of moves here. But I'll give some clarification on that. And then I'm going to take some listeners, questions here in the second half of the pod, be able to talk a little bit about what you guys want to know. I have a bunch of people tweeting me questions, so I figured this is a good way to do the podcast, answer some of what you all want to hear in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. By the way, don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, whenever news gets a little bit slow here. So please make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever you get your podcast from. It's also available on all of the apps. Stitcher, in particular, I know is a very popular one. And please follow it on social media. It's at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Give it a like on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. I know it sounds silly, but that all does really matter when it comes to ratings and advertisements and things like that. And really, that's what keeps this podcast coming to you guys 5 days a week, sometimes four during the offseason, but giving you more Pelicans-related content and information than you're getting anywhere else currently. And also, if you do get a chance, rate it 5 stars on iTunes, leave a comment. Even if the comment's something you want to hear me talk about, I'll pop in there on occasion and check them just to make sure I'm talking about what you all want to hear on the podcast. So it came out yesterday from Shams Charania from The Vertical and Yahoo that Rondo's deal is going to be for $3.3 million. And this is significantly less than the $7 we were kind of expecting. And this goes back to more of that $4 million range I said on Monday's edition of Locked On Pelicans. This is good. I was upset with their salary cap situation yesterday based off that number, based off the $2.3 million or $2.1 million, whatever it was, that they were supposedly going to be giving to Darius Miller. This looks a whole lot better when we start to get the actual reporting on things. And, you know, I can only respond to what's out there currently. And I can tell you all, I do talk to people within the organization. I think people do that, but I don't go out and break things. I have no need to do that. But I do let it inform my analysis and opinion on things. And I try and get it out here in more of a crafty way without explicitly saying someone told me anything. This one, I didn't really have a great dial in on and couldn't exactly be sure. So I can only respond to what I've heard and what's out there, and $7 million is what Scott Kushner had said, so that's an okay number, and I trust him very much when it comes to talking about the Pelicans and the team. So $3.3 million likely puts, you know, him into potentially the biannual exception. We've got to wait to see, and it's not like they're going to come out and explicitly tell us, so we're kind of going to have to make some assumptions. So the Pels might not trigger the hard cap now, and they can do that in a couple of different ways. You can sign Rondo with part of the taxpayer mid-level exception, not the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is at $8.4 million, but the taxpayer version. You can likely fit Or then you can re-sign Dante Cunningham using bird rights, and kind of free agency is over at that point for the Pelicans, other than minimum deals, which you then would assume would be for Darius Miller and other players. That's one way to do it. So Rondo signs with part of the taxpayer mid-level exception. To trigger the hard cap, you have to dump some money, basically, and you have to sign players using the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, minus what Frank Jackson likely got from the team. So you can sign other players like Ian Clark, let's say, other names, if you dump some salary here, and then you sign Rondo with the biannual exception, and then you've used the biannual, which is going to hard cap you right then and there. So you can't go out and add more money. So it all just depends on if they don't think there's other players they really want to spend money on in this offseason, adding to anything other than minimum deals, then you can hard cap yourself and it's okay. No matter what, and I get a lot of questions about the hard cap, this team was going to hard cap themselves at some point this offseason. It was just a matter of when and how they go about doing it. They're basically going to hit a max that they can spend and they're not going to be able to do any more. The hard cap's not the scary thing. It's what you get done before you hit it. And the Pels have two ways. If they don't really like anyone else out there other than maybe one guy, two guys, shoot, hard cap yourself and spend the non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Put Rondo into the biannual exception. Simple as that. You'll hard cap yourself. You can't spend any more in free agency. But there was no one else you were going to go out and get or wanted to get in the first place then. So you're okay, and it's not a big deal. Now you can, you know, keep it open and then sign player, you know, re-sign Cunningham, whom someone I think they would like to, you know, really keep. But, you know, then you can kind of keep your options open. If someone later really impresses you, comes at the right price, you can sign them as long as you're not hard capped and, you know, your offseason continues right up until training camp, as opposed to ending right here, right now, by the hard cap. And then the other worry is going to be the luxury tax. Benson's not going to pay this. I've said this, Kushner said this, I think a ton of people have said this. They're not going to pay the luxury tax unless they're a bona fide title contender. I don't think anyone sees them as a bona fide title contender, at least this coming year. Maybe in future years, depending on what they do, but certainly not at this point in time in the league. So that's the other issue. You might still need to dump salary, even if you hard cap yourself or do a few other things, because they're not going to pay that luxury tax. And after, you know, really hitting the trade deadline in February, you can't dump money after that, more or less. So you've got to find a way to dump money now, because you don't want to be stuck at the trade deadline, not able to move anyone, and then stuck paying that luxury tax, which we know Benson and ownership definitely does not want to do. Don't forget, there's a lot of interesting things going on right now, and the Cavaliers are certainly one of those teams. Rumors coming out that they're signing Derrick Rose to a one-year minimum deal today. They do have a Locked On Cavaliers, which is definitely worth a listen to see what they're doing. I kind of play for the Cavaliers. Jose Calderon's there as well. For a team that didn't have much money to spend or do anything with, they've added some players that I don't know if they're going to be good. I don't know if it's really going to help them. I think they're adding Jeff Green as well. But they're having an interesting offseason. So definitely give a listen to Locked On Cavaliers and see, you know, maybe that's going to be the best team to challenge the Warriors for a title. You want to know what's going on. Are they going to be able to do it? So tune in to Locked On Cavaliers.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. BOOM.
All right, time for some listener questions. I'm going to kind of go rapid fire through some of these. I got a good bit of them, and thank you all for tweeting in. And always tweet me your questions. It's at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm happy to answer them on here, especially if we get a bunch of good ones. And today was a perfect day to do it because it's a little bit slow, other than the Rondo news and kind of updating everyone on the salary cap. So, Jake, and I'm probably going to botch some of these names, so I apologize here. Jacob Revere, Jacob_Revere. Now asked, has the outlook changed at all since the Rondo deal came in at less than expected? And I touched on this a little bit in the last segment. It helps them. I'm not as like screaming angry, where now they have some flexibility to maybe add another guy or two and add some more depth to this roster, and then you figure it out in training camp. But overall, you know, I see the ceiling for this team is kind of the seventh seed, and that's their best good, realistic scenario. So it doesn't change much, but having some depth at least, even if you can't add another big name player, would certainly not be a bad thing, especially on the wing, because it is pretty weak right there. And then A-Roe, and it's at A-J-R-O-C-H-E-L here, asks, with the latest additions, assuming no cap moves are needed, do you think, feel the Pels need to make any more moves to complete the roster? Yeah, and again, this is all tying together here. It's you need some wing depth. You have Solomon Hill and Axel Toupin right there. That's it. This modern NBA, this is a really interesting experiment that the Pelicans are doing, because you have two bigs, and this goes against everything that the league is doing kind of as a whole right now, and I don't know if the team is going to win necessarily. I think that's why a lot of people aren't high on this team. Yeah, you have Boogie and Davis and their tremendous talent, but this isn't something that's worked a whole lot, and we don't know if now it's going to work. And you can say, yes, these guys are two dynamic bigs, and there's never been two bigs like them together. Of course. But right now, wing play is dominating the NBA in guard play, and the Pels aren't very dynamic or extraordinary in that aspect. So I think you need to go with a deeper team here to try and make up for that lack of elite wing play on this team to really help them out. Teague asks, and he's at Oceanback, who else might Boogie and AD be recruiting? I don't know, to be honest. I don't think they're really out there recruiting anyone. I know everyone wants me to say John Wall here and say they're going to try and get him to come. And of course, the team would love to have John Wall. The problem is they don't have assets to get a trade done for him. They don't really have the cap space to outright sign him to a max deal. So even if they're recruiting John Wall, let's say, you know, they're going to have to be really, really creative. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I don't quite know if they're going to pull off recruiting anyone. I don't think it really matters, because you have to be able to fit those guys onto the team somehow, and they don't really have the ability to do so. Logan Seal at locked underscore N underscore Logan, locked N Logan. That's actually a really good creative name. I like that one. Ask me, crunchy or smooth peanut butter? And this is an easy answer here. It is without a doubt crunchy peanut butter. I'm not going to come in and say that people who like smooth peanut butter are heathens or terrible humans or whatever. I just prefer the crunchy. I also don't like all that processed stuff, so I kind of like that like natural type peanut butter. The crunch adds to it. The crunch is just nice for like consistency, texture there, and I'm a huge peanut butter guy, but it's always crunchy. Good thing is my girlfriend doesn't really care for peanut butter, so I get to buy whatever the hell I want, which is definitely a nice thing. And while we're talking about food, someone asked, I forget who it is, they didn't tweet me today, asked me about the Handel's ham pies, or Haydel ham pies, and what I thought of them. And man, I used to love the Hubig's pies, and then everything burned down and they're gone. And funny story about that, the day it burned down, one of my friends bought like two cases of them, sold them on eBay for a lot of money because people were scrambling to get these, you know, like the, what were they, like a 99 cents, $1.99, something like that for the pies. Whenever I was in CVS, Rite Aid, they were always there and I'd buy one or two to eat. But, you know, then the fire burned the bakery and everything down. We had to move on, and finally we get these new ones. I finally started trying them. They're like $2.50 or something like that, which just seems more expensive than what they should be. They're not as good as the Hubig's pies. I've had the lemon, the cherry one, the chocolate, and the coconut cream. The lemon was really good. The cherry was really good. The coconut cream is by far the best. And the chocolate one, which I actually had this morning, not good. Was not impressed. They kind of, the outside like crust on these things is a little bit too tough as well. It doesn't flake quite like what the Hubig's pies did. So moving on from food here, and I told you I'd get something like this on the podcast here. Do I think James Young, this comes from Nick, it's at Nick Zoo, and that's Z-O-O-O. Do you think James Young makes the roster, and when will we know who's invited to camp? I don't know when they're going to announce the training camp roster, usually as we get closer to it. I would assume James Young will, unless another team signs him, and I don't quite know how the summer league contracts translate to training camp rosters. James Young did enough to get an invite to training camp, but I'm going to warn you guys, if you're rooting for someone to make the team that's coming out of training camp on an unguaranteed deal or something like that, the Pelicans roster spots are starting to very, very much dry up. They might have one for about, you know, 15, 10 other guys that are going to be invited to training camp. So even if they impress, they just might not have a roster spot for someone like him. which can be a problem. But he showed a nice little inside-out game, kind of a stretch four for the Pels in summer league. I thought it would, you know, again, it's worth a training camp invite, but I don't want to say that, like, he's going to be on the team, or that even if he plays well, he just doesn't have very good odds because it comes down to roster spots. And sometimes it's a math thing, and they just don't have, you know, the math to kind of make him fit. Moving on now, Ernie Ballard, Balla, B-A-L-L-A-1, says, Sam Mitchell still in consideration to join the coaching staff. And I'll tell you this, I've heard a few different things, so I don't quite know what to make of it. I've heard, yeah, they're still considering it, and they're just waiting to get everything done. There's a lot in flux right now. I've also heard, no, he's done. It's not, he didn't take it, or they didn't really offer it to him, and it was just a name that was reported. So I don't really know. I know they were considering it personally, and I think I talked about this on a podcast. I'm not a fan of Sam Mitchell when he was not a good head coach, in my opinion, did not take threes, which this team really does to stretch the court for these two bigs. Otherwise, you're going to have some issues. So it seems like maybe a little bit that, you know, the modern NBA has passed him by some. So it's going to be interesting to see if he comes back in and like what his role would be. Maybe it's more of just kind of a player's coach getting, you know, a bit of a buffer between the coaches or the players and Gentry and ownership or what have you. Sometimes those roles are needed, kind of that intermediary translator and things like that. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see if he does join, what his specific role would be. But right now, I wouldn't put good odds on him being on the Pelicans coaching staff to start next season. Let's keep the questions rolling, and this makes it easy on me, you guys tweeting things in, because, man, I will tell you, I love doing the podcast. I love talking basketball. I kind of like being the center of attention. I won't lie here about this either. But sometimes during the off season and doing a pod 4 or 5 days a week, it's tough for content, questions and stuff, doing things like this. My God, this is making my life easier. So thank you all for listening every day, and thank you for tweeting your questions in and kind of interacting here with the podcast. So Defensive Mind, which that's a good name too, I guess, here at @defensive_mind, asks, what are some of the housekeeping moves looking like at the bottom of the roster? What's the organization's stance on Dante? And I'm sure so let's start with the second part of that first. They'd love to bring Cunningham back. It's good depth. You know, depending on how much he is. And at this point, salary cap space is starting to dry up. And, you know, it's going to be tough for another team to sign him potentially now for a contract he likes. So he might be able to come back to New Orleans a little bit cheaper than he would have otherwise. So that I'm sure they'd like to bring him back, but it just depends on their salary cap situation. And that's where the housekeeping moves get kind of important. If they're like deep in the luxury tax, they might just not be able to do it because they're not going to pay this tax. And you might need to be able to offload some of these other guys. If you're looking at the bottom of the roster, does Pondexter count as the bottom of the roster? And this is going to tie into another question I'm about to answer here. You know, if you can get rid of some of that salary and things like that, it makes it better and easier to bring in or bring back Cunningham and other guys. So look, the bottom of the roster is not set yet. They have three unguaranteed guys. You have to imagine Quinn Cook's going to make the final roster and be in the guard rotation. Axel Toupin, I think, gets to training camp, but I don't think he's going to stay around. So it's a lot of like those type of positions that are still up in the air a little bit. Speaking of Pondexter, it was King, and this comes from, I got to remember to read the names here, Andrew Cobb at @AND_Cobb and Cobb. Can Coupon be a factor off the bench, or is he done? To be honest, I don't know. But this is a guy who for 2 years has not played a competitive basketball game. You can't factor him in. Even if he comes in healthy to training camp and is ready to play, and he's not on a minutes restriction, which I'd be willing to bet he would be if he was healthy enough to play, I don't think you can factor him in at all. Maybe, and anything he gives you is lanyap, but you have to imagine right now that they're just assuming he's not in the rotation and moving on. You can look and get excited about all of the Instagram things he posts and all the tweets and his mottos and everything he puts on there and shows himself shooting three-pointers. But I don't care about any of that till I see you do it on a court, till I see you in practice, till I see you in training camp, and in particular, till I see you in a preseason game doing it. There's been a whole lot about his surgery. You know, no one knows the specifics. It hasn't really been reported, but I've heard rumors about different things. I'm not going to go into those because I don't want to really comment on unsubstantiated things. But no, I'm not going to factor him in until I see him playing. Next question I got here, it comes from Joe X at JoeX187. Omri Caspi at his best year as a pro in a faster paced offense. Can some of the players we have do the same with Rondo running point guard again? Look, Rondo can make guys better, but this is not the same Rondo who made Kevin Garnett look amazing, Paul Pierce look amazing. Those guys were good to begin with, and they just got even a little bit better because you had him out there dishing assists and doing other things. And a lot of those assists were Rondo driving to the rim, who could have easily gotten a layup and just decided to dump it off to make their numbers look better and kind of get some more assist numbers. So, you know, I don't know how much better he's going to make these teammates. They're still going to play in a faster pace. Rondo does not do particularly well scoring in transition, but what I like with him in a faster paced offense is he can grab a rebound, throw out a quick outlet pass, and get this team up and running down the court really quickly with some of his passing ability. I think that's the best chance you have to see him really succeeding in transition when it comes to scoring and different things. Not as good when it comes to that. So let's keep going here. Bryce Kennedy tweeting at me, and this is at Bryce Kennedy 4. That one's easy. Who gets moved for this roster to be effective? They're going to be effective now. Let's be honest. I've been down on them, and I'm not particularly high on their chances this season, partially because the Western Conference is absolutely stacked at the bottom. Those final four, there's like eight teams vying for the spots 4 or 5, 6, 7, and 8. So it's not, they don't need to move anyone. You know, moving anyone's not going to make you better. You're losing people, and this is not one of those addition by subtraction things. There's no one here holding him back. So it's not that. It's, you know, I think that ties into the next question I'm going to answer here, which comes from Brandon Givens. And I'm literally just reading these kind of in a row. And some of these people who were not, you know, talking to each other tweeted like easy transition questions here. So it's next year. This comes from Brandon Givens at Givens 57. Next year, what moves could be made to make this team top three in the West? You got to clear a ton of salary before you do that. So I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But if they manage to clear a lot of salary and you can get an elite wing scorer, not even elite, just good wing score, and maybe one or two shooters to space the court, that's when Davis and Cousins are going to be able to go to town. You can have people who say no one understands spacing in the NBA and not having shooters is a bad thing, but this team doesn't have shooters. You don't need to point to three-point percentage just to say, well, they're not as bad. The question is, three-point percentage is fine, but what if these guys don't shoot it in high volume? You're not going to suck a guy out of the paint. That's the issue with Rondo here. His three-point percentage isn't bad, but teams don't respect his three-point shot. So he's not going to have a guy stuck on him on the perimeter, and instead they're going to sag off, try and stick an arm when Davis and Cousins are both down low. And when both those guys are near each other, you're going to have a defender for each, one for Davis, one for Cousins. You're going to have a third guy in there to double-team whoever gets the ball, and you might have a fourth. You can leave Solomon Hill unguarded in the three, because if he hits one or two, then you just go cover him and you don't care. But he's likely not going to hit that. We saw it last season. Dante Cunningham in one game, I think it was against the Jazz, missed three corner threes in a row on three straight possessions. They were all wide open. Teams don't respect the three-point shot on some of these guys. So that's the issue. You can point to three-point percentage and be like, they're good, they're not bad, they rank high out of a certain number of players. It's garbage. Unless the guy defense is going to respect it, which this team doesn't have. So finding a guy that could kind of, you know, pull a player and space the court, that's what people mean by spacing. I understand spacing. I think most people do. You still need to have shooters around these two bigs, because otherwise there's really going to potentially be four guys kind of covering them all, and teams will live by letting other shooters try and beat them. A couple quick questions here. As we wrap everything up here, what took them so long to release how much the Pels would be paying Rondo? They were delaying this to try and get some other moves done. Nothing really got done. So they're going a different direction. I think that's really what it has to do. And sometimes it's just, you know, getting the incentives all finalized, if there are any, and I'm sure there's some in Rondo's deal, letting him review them, and see if you need to come back and make any changes, things like that. These aren't quite unilateral contracts. And then from the same person, this was from Solomon. It's Solomon H20, not H20, I don't think here. So Solomon H20. And if I were, it goes, if you were Benson, would you pay the luxury tax? This is a tough question because, look, it's not my money. I don't know the internal finances of this team. I assume he has enough money from the Saints, from his real estate deals. Yeah, you can pay the luxury tax. But here's the thing with it and why this is a dangerous twofold question. One, you know, the Saints and Pelicans, you've got to think of them as separate organizations. They don't share money between them. So if the Saints were to have a profit of $80 million, let's say, and these hypothetical numbers are not profiting that much, and the Pels lose $40 million, it's not like they're like, okay, well, we came out $40 million ahead. You're not shifting money from one to the other like that. So they have strict operating budgets. And sometimes an internal budget goes, we're not going to go past this in salary. Yes, there's a cap of 125, but maybe it's we don't pay more than 118, 119 where the luxury tax threshold is. The other thing with paying the tax this year, if you then need to pay it next year, is when it gets even worse. It's a repeater tax, remember, so the longer you're in it, the more you pay. If you can avoid it this year, then go into it next year, and then go into the year after that, that second year you're in the tax is a second year, not the third year you're in the tax, which saves you significant, significant money at that point. So when it comes to paying the tax, that needs to be factored in as well. Final question I got here before I'm going to wrap this up, get this posted for you all, since I know it's later in the day. Matthew Smith, MC Smith 23. Any guys impressed at Summer League and have a chance to make the 12-man roster? I mean, I think we know Diallo and Quinn Cook impressed, and Summer League was about them. Cook's almost a lock to make the roster. And I said this is one of the beginning questions. The issue is going to be, do they have roster spots? And depending on other moves they make, they might not. They're getting really, really close. So maybe some guys who impress from Summer League or training camp get signed to a two-way contract, which doesn't count against the salary cap, doesn't count against your roster size limit. So that could really help. That's, I think, where more likely some of these guys will get a deal. James Young's one that comes to mind. He was probably out of all those guys most impressive. Peter Jok did impress as well in the one game where he really got significant time. He's not afraid to let it fly from three. Those are the two, if I had to pick right now personally, I'd give two-way deals to. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Probably no podcast tomorrow. I'm recording another one tonight with someone else that I'll probably post on here so you can all hear me talk a little bit of Pels, not be the main host and just answer some questions. Might be a little bit easier. Thank you all for listening this week. Thank you for tweeting in your questions that you had about the team. We'll do another mailbag type podcast again like that soon. This was pretty fun. Also, it makes my life easier, so I appreciate it. So thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment on things you want me to talk about as well. Follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all next week.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.